Gainesville. Now listen to the message, Already in Progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
your Bibles, turn to John 3 and 16. Let's give our choir another hand. God bless you, choir. Praise his name. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. John 3 and 16, familiar passage of scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and you're God all by yourself. For this we thank you. For this we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. If y'all don't mind one more time, I know you got your phones and your Bibles in your hands, but please put those hands together one more time for our great and wonderful God. Hallelujah. I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning from the subject Christmas Lunyap. Amen. Christmas Lunyap. And I know that a lot of you are not from Louisiana and you don't know some of the South Louisiana, amen, the language, but Christmas Lunyap, that's what I want to talk about. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. Christmas celebrates this awesome and amazing fact that is grander, it is wiser and more mysterious than anything we could have ever imagined. That is why the church, believers in particular, must keep telling the Christmas story. Y'all, we've got to keep singing the Christmas songs, and we've got to keep on living the Christmas spirit. Because it is the hope and the message of Christmas that helps you to stay glued together when life sometimes is falling apart. Do I have a witness this morning? When it seems sometimes that the fabric of life is unraveling or has become frayed, it is the depth of the meaning and mystery of Christmas that keeps the garments of our lives from being ruined. The awesomeness of Christmas has nothing to do with the season, but y'all, it has everything to do with the Savior. Tell your neighbor, nudge your neighbor, say it ain't about the season. Oh, yeah, it's about the Savior. The Savior. The Savior. It is the Savior that meets us when we're bruised. It is the Savior who meets us when we're broken. It is the Savior who meets us when we're battered, burdened, and bewildered. It is the message and hope of Christmas that keeps you anchored and stable when things are often unstable, when stuff gets shaky, when stuff seems like it's crumbling all around you. Thank God for the hope and the message of Christmas that reminds us that the ground on which we're standing is not only holy ground, but it is stable ground. Thank God for the message and the hope of Christmas. The world spends a lot of time preparing for an observance. And if the truth would be told, many of us in the church, amen, spend a whole lot of time preparing for a Christmas observance. Amen. It's hard not to with all of the commercialism and the stuff we see on television. Sometimes we get caught up in what's happening, amen, in New York and what's happening in Los Angeles and the parades and the Christmas tree that's brought from Seattle or wherever it's brought from. We get caught up in lights and all of that. But we as the church have to be careful never to forget the central meaning of Christmas. It is the birth of our Savior. It is the birth of the newborn King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Tell your neighbor, it's all about Jesus. It's an experience of knowing that the Christ child that was born in Bethlehem has come to be born in us. And now our hearts, in a real sense, have become spiritual mangers. Oh, think about the manger that Christ was born in down in Bethlehem. You know, if there were any animals in there, there was a lot of mess in that manger. And I would venture to say, and I will be a witness by myself, that a lot of times in my heart is a whole bunch of mess. But I'm excited and I'm rejoicing as we approach Christmas, because Jesus the Christ has chosen. He has made a decision in spite of my mess-ups, in spite of my mix-ups, in spite of my dastardly ways. He has come to set up residence in my heart. Am I by myself this morning? Is there anybody else who has to admit that your heart ain't the cleanest place, that your heart is not a perfect place, that every now and then some bad things come up in your heart? Amen. There are two or three folks sitting in church on Sunday morning, but if the truth would be told, it's some ugly stuff in your heart right now. But in spite of me, Minister Phillips, Jesus has made up in his mind that he has come to be born in my heart, and I'm rejoicing every time I think about the fact that he looked beyond my faults and he saw that I needed him in my life. And I've got to praise him. I've got to tell him thank you, because without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I would fail. Give him praise in this place today. He lives in us. He lives with us. And so for the believer and the church, all of the Christmas presents in the world, no matter who they came from, no matter how much they cost, no matter how big or how small they are, all the presents aren't worth nothing without the presence of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to give him praise right through there. There are multiple and meaningful definitions of Christmas. But I ran across this one, and this is where I got the title of this message from. This definition, it's really applicable in a secular sense, but as I thought about it, it also has a deep spiritual application. And the way I saw it defined in this magazine, the writer said that Christmas is doing a little extra for somebody. You know what you ordinarily do, what you normally do throughout the year. Amen. But at Christmas times, you know those kids been bad. You know they ain't been good all the time. You know, amen, amen, they've been plucking your last nerve and all of that. But yet, because it is Christmas, you decide to give them some lagniappe. That's what lagniappe means, a little something extra. Amen. And that's what this writer defined Christmas. He said that Christmas is doing a little something extra. And y'all, that's exactly what God did for humanity. He had given us, look at this, he gave us a world in creation. He gave life to Adam and Eve. He created a garden for man to live in. He put a sun in the sky for daylight, moon and stars in the sky for nightlight. He had given Israel a name to be his people, a nation that stood above other nations, kings to rule them, prophets to teach them, commandments for them to obey, priests that interceded for them in special ways, miracles that affirm him and bless them. But then, y'all, God did a little something extra. He went beyond what he had already done. He gave us an event in time and history that we call Christmas. He did something extra. He did more than he had done. He gave more than he had ever given. And y'all, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is doing a little extra for someone. God did something for everybody, not just for someone, but for everyone, if you have faith to believe it, if you're willing to confess it. And so our text again today declares, in my opinion, that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift for God. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want to place at the entrance of your hearts this morning, and I want to place at the entrance of your minds this morning, why I believe Christ is the greatest gift. Oh my. And I hope that in days to come that it will speak to you. Please don't forget it. And I thought about it. I thought about maybe I need to explain my preaching style so that some folk, amen, can understand that whenever I stand to preach, for the most part, I'm going to give you at least 3 points. Amen. And if you don't do anything else, you ought to make note in your cellular phone, your smartphone, or on a piece of paper. Write down the passage. Amen. Write down the points, because I don't want to be the kind of preacher who's just preaching just to be preaching. My hope and my prayer is that when you leave this place, you've got enough word in you that on tomorrow, when you get on your job or when you get with your friends, you can give them a message about Christmas. Hallelujah. Bless his name. So Jesus Christ is the lanyard that I want to talk about, this gift that we call Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you why he's really more than a little something extra. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the greatest gift. Do I have any witnesses today? The greatest gift, the greatest gift. Now, I know some of y'all are going to have pictures on Facebook. Amen. Some ladies are going to have a new car with a big bow tie on the hood. And some brothers are going to have a new truck with a bow tie on the hood. And children are going to have new games and all that kind of stuff. But I hope at the end of the day on Christmas that every believer affirms with Pastor Garner that Jesus is the best gift. Y'all, I'm about to shout by myself. He's the best gift. He's the best gift. 3 reasons why he's the best gift. Number one, he's a global gift. For God so loved the world. It was not a gift just given to Mary and Joseph. Not just given to the Jews. Amen. Not just given to that region of the world. Jerusalem, Galilee, Judea, Samaria, and the surrounding communities of the Middle East. Christ is global. How do you know it, Pastor Garner? I know it because while I'm preaching about him right now in Leesville, at the same time, there's somebody in Mississippi preaching about him. There's somebody in Minnesota talking about him. There's somebody in Missouri preaching about him. There's somebody in Massachusetts talking about him. And while we're talking about him in the United States, there's somebody in India talking about him. There's somebody in Africa talking about him. There's somebody in Brazil preaching about him. It's a gift that reaches you. Watch this, wherever you are. I said, wherever you are. Now, some of y'all didn't shout through there because you forgot some of the places you've been. See, everybody didn't meet Christ at church on a Sunday morning. If we could have testimony service right through here, I guarantee there would be one somebody that could stand up and say, Pastor, I was in jail. I was in the jailhouse, but a preacher came through and talked about Jesus who died and gave his life and shed his blood. Is there anybody glad to know that he will reach you wherever you are? Oh, my. You're not here today because you've lived the model life. You're not here today because you've demonstrated flawless and faithful behavior in every aspect of your life. You are here because the love of God reached you wherever you were. You see, this is what we've got to always remember, because some of us get prideful with our religion. We act like we're supposed to be saved. We act like, amen, it's because I've been good, preacher. It's because of my education. It's because of my family name. But the Bible says no man comes to Christ except the Father draws him. Now, I wish I could also tell you with that why he drew me and why he drew you. I don't know why he drew me, but I know I got enough sense to thank him because he did. Where are the other folk who are thankful that he looked beyond your faults and saw that you needed him? He picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on solid ground. He will reach you wherever you are. So many times in life, we are blown by the winds of poor choices, and we find ourselves in the corners of chaos and confusion. So many times we have willingly lifted our sail to catch a wind that we knew was going in the wrong direction. And we find ourselves stranded on the sea of uncertainty and discomfort. So many times we have been blown into a life of waywardness and carelessness. So many times pain, grief, fear, frustration blows us into a land of spiritual and personal numbness. We can't see clearly, we can't hear the truth, and we don't act right. But the good news is that God's love found us wherever we were. Oh my, is there anybody glad that God's love will come to you wherever you are? And what I love about it, it will reach you wherever you are. His love is global. His love is global. You cannot be blown beyond his love. This love of God, in a real sense, is parallel to the blood of Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm suggesting to you this morning that the love of Christ, amen, and the blood of Christ have the same DNA. How do you know it? I know it because the songwriter really proved it. The songwriter really proved it when he said it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Come on, come on. Where are my folk who weren't on the mountain when God's love found you? There are some valley folk in here. You were in the valley. You were deep down in the valley when his love found you. But thanks be to God, he found me. Thanks be to God, his love reached me. And what I love about it, his love will not only reach you, his love will redeem you when it reaches you. See, y'all, somebody missed it. You missed it because you forgot about all the folk. You know, when you were in trouble, you had friends and family, they reached you. But they didn't have the power to redeem you. Come on, come on, come on. I know I'm not by myself. Anybody else ever been in a situation where it was deep, it was dark, the trouble was so great that you called mama, you called your husband, you called your wife, you called your family members, and yes, they came to where you were, but when they got there, all they could do is sit there with you and hope that God would show up and make a way out of no way. Now, what I need right through here, I need the people who can testify that not only did God reach me, but when he found me, when he got to me, he redeemed me. Give him praise in this place. His love is global. Here's the second point. He is a gracious gift. He's the best gift because he's a global gift. He's the best gift because he is a gracious gift. He gave his only begotten son. Y'all, he gave the best. He gave his all. Can I tell the whole truth? He gave himself. God's gift was so priceless and so precious that it's almost hard to place human language to fit it. If you still got your Bibles open, turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And what you'll find when you get there, you'll find that the Apostle Paul was summarizing the glory of God. He was summarizing the grace of God and the goodness of God that he had been talking about in the previous verses. And when he gets to verse 15, he is so overwhelmed with how good and how wonderful God had been. He's so thankful to God for the gift of a Savior, the only begotten, that Paul says, now depending on what version you got, if you got the King James Version, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If you've got the English Standard Version, it says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. If you've got the New International Version, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. If you've got the New Living Translation, it says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. And I need you to understand that what makes it unspeakable, what makes it inexpressible, what makes it indescribable and too wonderful for words is the fact that it is a free gift. That's what makes it gracious. The Father gave his Son at no cost to you and no cost to me. Is there anybody who's lived in a capitalistic society long enough to appreciate the fact that there's still something free? Is there anybody, after paying your light bill and paying your water bill and paying your gas bill, you can celebrate the fact that there is one gift that you ain't gotta pay for? It is the love of God. And since you can't pay him for it, can I tell you what you ought to do? You ought to praise him for it. I know this is a sermon, but right here in the midst of the sermon, I need just five people. Just five people. If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you'll praise God for the free gift of Jesus Christ. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's a global gift. He's a gracious gift. Here's the last point. He is a guaranteed gift. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Tell your neighbor, that's a guarantee. That's what makes the gift great. Time will not damage the gift. Christ came with the guarantee behind him. He came with the guarantee upon him. He came with the guarantee with him. And the guarantee covers any and everybody who's willing to believe. The guarantee goes beyond this life. It covers you in this life, and then it continues into the life to come. The guarantee will never be invalid. It has no expiration date on it. At your expiration, your coverage continues until that great day when the sky shall unfold and we shall behold him face to face. This guarantee is for the lost. It's for the least. It's even for the left out. It covers all sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, he will make them whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. He will create a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that his blood, I'm glad that his love, I'm glad that this gift covers all of my sins. And I'm so glad that I'm in good company, because it covered a woman caught in adultery. It covered a disciple who denied him. It covered a disciple who doubted him. It covered a thief on the cross. It covered a woman of Samaria. It covered a religious zealot on the Damascus Road. It covered a jailer in Philippi. It covered a tax collector named Zacchaeus.